Hi again. We last left off with Edward and Bryce, feeling hungry and searching for some food on the streets of Memphis. Chapter 21. The diner was called Neal's. The word was written in big red neon letters that flashed on and off. Inside, it was warm and bright and smelled like fried chicken and toast and coffee. Bryce sat at the corner and put Edward on a stool next to him. He leaned the rabbit's forehead up against the counter so he would not fall. "What are you going to have, sugar?" the waitress said to Bryce. "Give me some pancakes," said Bryce, "and some eggs, and I want steak, too. I want a big old steak. And some toast, and some coffee." The waitress leaned forward and pulled at one of Edward's ears, and then pushed him backward so that she could see his face. "Is this your rabbit?" she said to Bryce. "Yes, ma'am, he's mine now. He belonged to my sister." Bryce wiped at his nose with the back of his hand. "We're in show business, me and him." "Is that right?" said the waitress. She had a name tag on the front of her dress. "Marlene," it said. She looked at Edward's face, and then she let go of his ear. And he fell forward so that his head rested again against the counter. "Go ahead, Marlene," thought Edward. "Push me around. Do with me as you will. What does it matter? I am broken. Broken." The food came, and Bryce ate all of it without even looking up from his plate. "Well, you was hungry for sure," said Marlene as she cleared away the plates. "I reckon show business is hard work." "Yes, ma'am," said Bryce. Marlene tucked the check under the coffee cup. Bryce picked it up and looked at it and then shook his head. "I ain't got enough. I ain't got enough money," he said to Edward. "Ma'am," he said to Marlene when she came back and filled up his coffee cup, "I ain't got enough." "What, sugar?" "I ain't got enough money." She stopped pouring the coffee and looked at him. "You are going to have to talk to Neal about that." Neal, it turned out, was both the owner and the cook. He was a large, red-haired, red-faced man who came out of the kitchen holding a spatula in one hand. "You came in here hungry, right?" he said to Bryce. "Yes, sir," said Bryce. He wiped his nose with the back of his hand. "And you ordered some food, and I cooked it, and Marlene brought it to you, right?" "I reckon," said Bryce. "You reckon?" said Neal. He brought the spatula down on the countertop with a thwack. Bryce jumped. "Yes, sir, I mean no, sir. I cooked it for you," said Neal. "Yes, sir," said Bryce. He picked Edward up off the stool and held him close. Everyone in the diner had stopped eating. They were all staring at the boy and the rabbit and Neal. Only Marlene looked away. "You ordered it, I cooked it. Marlene served it. You ate it. Now," said Neal, "I want my money." He tapped the spatula lightly on the counter. Bryce cleared his throat. "You ever seen a rabbit dance?" he said. "How's that?" said Neal. "You ever before in your life seen a rabbit dance?" Bryce set Edward on the floor and started pulling the strings attached to his feet, making him do a slow shuffle. He put his harmonica in his mouth and played a sad song that went along with the dance. Somebody laughed. Bryce took the harmonica out of his mouth and said, "He could dance some more if you want him to. He could dance to pay for what I ate." Neal stared at Bryce, and then without warning, he reached down and grabbed hold of Edward. "This is what I think of dancing rabbits," said Neal, and he swung Edward by the feet, swung him so that his head hit the edge of the counter hard. There was a loud crack. Bryce screamed, and the world, Edward's world, went black. That's the end of chapter 21. Chapter 22, if you can remember, is what I call the magic page, the page that's got a picture of the front cover. Remember the front cover where Edward was walking up to the steps of his, what we thought was his house on Egypt Street, and he's wearing a fancy red suit. He's all new looking again, and the light's on at the up by the door of the house. Chapter 22. It was dusk, and Edward was walking down a sidewalk. He was walking on his own, putting one foot in front of the other without any assistance from anybody. He was wearing a fine suit made of red silk. He walked down the sidewalk, and then he turned onto a path that led up to a house with lighted windows. "I know this house," thought Edward. "This is Abilene's house. I am on Egypt Street." Lucy came running out the front door of the house, barking and jumping and wagging her tail. "Down, girl," said a deep, gruff voice. Edward looked up, and there was Bull, standing at the door. "Hello, Malone," said Bull. "Hello, good old rabbit pie. We've been waiting for you." Bull swung the door wide, and Edward walked inside. Abilene was there, and Nellie, and Lawrence, and Bryce. "Susanna!" called Nellie. "Jangles!" said Bryce. "Edward!" said Abilene. She held out her arms to him. But Edward stood still. He looked around the room. "You searching for Sarah Ruth?" Bryce asked. Edward nodded. "You gotta go outside if you want to see Sarah Ruth," said Bryce. So they all went outside, Lucy and Bull and Nellie and Lawrence and Bryce and Abilene and Edward. "Right there," said Bryce. He pointed up at the stars. "Yep," said Lawrence. "That is Sarah Ruth's constellation. He picked Edward up and put him on his shoulder. "You can see it right there." Edward felt a pang of sorrow, deep and sweet and familiar. Why did she have to be so far away? If only I had wings, he thought, I could fly to her. Out of the corner of his eye, the rabbit saw something flutter. Edward looked over his shoulder, and there they were, the most magnificent wings he had ever seen, orange and red and blue and yellow, and they were on his back. They belonged to him. They were his wings. What a wonderful night this was. He was walking on his own, he had an elegant new suit, and now he had wings. He could fly anywhere. Do anything. Why had he never realized it before? His heart soared inside of him. He spread his wings and flew off of Lawrence's shoulders, out of his hands and up into the nighttime sky, towards Sarah Ruth. "No," shouted Abilene. "Catch him," said Bryce. Edward flew higher. Lucy barked. "Malone," shouted Bull. And then with a terrific lunge, he grabbed hold of Edward's feet and pulled him out of the sky and wrestled him down to the earth. "You can't go yet," said Bull. "Stay with us," said Abilene. Edward beat his wings, but it was no use. Bull held him firmly to the ground. "Stay with us," repeated Abilene. Edward started to cry. "I couldn't stand to lose you again," said Nellie. "Neither could I," said Abilene. "It would break my heart." Lucy bent her face to Edward's. She licked the tears away. That's the end of the chapter there. I think I'm going to leave you in suspense. Maybe you're wondering, did Edward's head get smashed into pieces and he's dying now, or he's dead and this is the afterlife? Or maybe you're wondering if he's unconscious and he's going to wake up. Or maybe you're wondering if he's dreaming. But I'm going to leave you there. Have a great week.